BT, Ronge and Randy in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And joining us now on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line is our friend, the host for pre- and post-games for Blues and Cardinals on FS Midwest, Scott Warman. Scotty, how you doing, man?
RK, I'm doing well. How about you, brother?
Everything's good. Are you bored?
No, I mean, I've actually got some projects that need to be done here at the house, so waiting for actually the sun actually, you know, as we know, came out, so get some outdoor stuff done. Most of my indoor stuff is finished, but now that we've got some relatively nice weather the last couple of days, in fact, I just got done with a run before I got back home to jump on with you guys. So, you know, you just kind of take it day by day. And one thing is, we're not in a rush to really do a lot of things. We've got a lot of time on our hands.
Yes, we do.
Scotty, you just made me feel bad about myself. I haven't gone for a run in a couple of years. Hey, is your dog wondering why you're home all the time?
He is happy as a clam, man. So when we get back to business, as Meat and I were just talking about on the phone here, hopefully sooner rather than later, I don't know what the heck he's going to do, man, because he's all about daddy and everybody being at home with him now. He's the center of attention. He loves all of that.
You know what? Sure. Scotty, I think he's got service animal written all over him. You could bring him right into the studio. We'll all be good to go. I was thinking about it today when I was driving in. I drove right past Busch Stadium, and obviously the opener is going to be in Cincinnati, so Busch would look, you know, fairly similar to the way that it looks right now today. But I was thinking about what we would be doing, Scotty, and I know that you would be busy in the studio. I had a big show planned. I was going to be in Cincinnati with Dan, and I got to be honest with you, I got a little upset. I got a little sad about it because opening day is so cool. I mean, everything that goes into it, isn't it?
It is. I mean, obviously, being here from St. Louis, we're really spoiled because I think while we're biased that we think we have the best opening day of all times, I think most people will say once they've been here to St. Louis, whether you're a Cardinal fan or not, you have to agree that we have the best opening day, which, of course, for us would have been a week from today for all of us here in St. Louis. But obviously, man, yeah, exactly. I was thinking about it, too. I was even thinking about it yesterday. I'm like, man, you know, tomorrow, first day of baseball, it's getting warm out, and we got nothing. You know, it's just, it's one of those things, and you just have to take it in stride. I mean, honestly, guys, I was on with Art Haynes. He's the voice of Missouri State on his radio show down in Springfield yesterday, and I'm just trying to take a positive aspect. I mean, I got a friend of mine today. He's already bored and everything. I'm like, look, go outside, do stuff. You know, we'll all get through this if we all just, you know, help each other out in all those crazy times. But yeah, obviously, you know, we're all looking forward to first day of baseball. You know, this is something that we always look forward to every year. And so, yeah, so we have to hit the pause button, and like I said, hopefully sooner rather than later, we can get this sucker going.
So you found yourself, we've caught yourself thinking, oh yeah, but opening day is coming up here, and then you realize, oh crap, it's not. Because it's weird, last night I was just thinking, it doesn't even feel like opening day was supposed to be today. You know, it doesn't have that feel right now.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ronge, there's no doubt about it, but I think all four of us have done this for a while. Obviously Randy's been around a little bit longer, but still, I think Randy, you could attest to this. It's almost like we've done this long enough that we have a body clock that says, okay, baseball starting,
right.
Masters, you know, NHL, NBA playoffs, Kentucky Derby, and Indy 5. I mean, we've done this for so many years that's kind of Ron's why I'm, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, it's time. And it's like, maybe not,
yeah.
You know? So it is kind of an adjustment, you know, and who knows how long we have to wait. But again, my body clock said, yeah. I mean, even last Thursday, I was like, okay, time to watch the first round of the NCAA tournament. This is my favorite time of the year because we're going to see upsets and Cinderella. And not so much, you know. It's just one of those things. You know, it's been absolutely an incredible adjustment for obviously every one of us involved.
Scott Warman with us on 101 ESPN. So what do you miss most? You do Cardinals and Blues pre and post. You work with a lot of people. What is it about going into that studio at Ballpark Village every day that you miss the most?
Don't say a paycheck, Scotty. We know that. That's number one.
What's that? you know, Randy, it's a great question. People, and you and I have even, Randy, talked about this personally. We're so lucky. We grew up here, and now the teams that you and I and all of us have rooted for, we're either somehow associated, where I'm lucky enough to be associated in a small capacity of the broadcast for the Cardinals and the Blues. You know, they know that I enjoy my job. I love my job. I am always so appreciative of the job that I have been given this opportunity to, and I never take a day off ever, just like you, Randy. I know you and I have known each other. It's crazy. We've known each other for 30 years.
Yep.
Randy still goes at it at this day in 2020 like he did even before I knew Randy when we first met back in 1990. And you just appreciate it and you love it. And especially like a day like today, you're almost like hopping and skipping and jumping into the studio, man. You're like, let's get this going, man. I'm ready to go. You've talked to your producers. We've got, you know, basically the whole show, especially the first shows, are already lined up. Tim Trokey does a great job along with all of our other producers over at Fox Sports Midwest. They've got it all ironed out. But it goes even beyond that. You know, we're not only getting ready for opening day, RK, but and Brad and Ronj, but, you know, we're right on the precipice of getting back to the playoffs, and the boys and the boys of winter are trying to defend their Stanley Cup championship. I mean, this is a great time for all of us here in St. Louis, and now we got to sit back and wait. But there's no doubt about it, Randy. I just feel excitement to go in, get ready to watch a Cardinals or a Blues game, and that's one of the things I've told people since doing this full boat here over the last few years is the fact that what I have learned sitting in our little green room, and you've all been in there before, right off to where our studio is at, what I have learned sitting there watching a game, whether it's with Bernie or Jamie for a hockey game or BT or Jimmy ball game or Al or Ricky or Ink, I mean, they see the game differently than the rest of us. Brad, you know this. I hope you don't mind me telling a story.
Depends which story it is.
No, go ahead, Scott. I want to hear it.
I'm here for it.
Doesn't matter what it is. Go.
2 years ago, it's a Sunday afternoon, and the Cardinals are playing the Pittsburgh Pirates. And the Cardinals were no hit for, what, 7-8 innings, Brad? Do you remember? Anyway, we're in the second inning, and dude goes, Kingham is tipping his pitches. I go, what are you talking about? How do you see this? He goes, watch his left pinky of his left hand. God. And when he does this little thing, that means he's throwing a changeup. He goes, watch. And I look, I go, how did you see that? And sure enough, every time this dude did this, I'm going, here comes a changeup. And sure enough, it was a changeup. So
I tip my changeup a lot, Scotty. That's kind of, I look for things like that.
So practice makes perfect, right, BT? So that's the one thing that I think is such of many blessings that I've been given is to see the game. And especially another real quick story is Edmonds is like a freak. He's unbelievable. So did fantasy baseball down in Jupiter about 3 years ago. And so it was a Saturday morning, and my team that was on, Bob Tewksbury was our manager, and Ray Langford was, and Jamin Simatachi were our two guys that were playing. Again, Tewks was our manager, and Jimmy just kind of roamed and played for each team. So that Saturday morning, Jimmy's playing on our team. He plays center field. I'm playing right field. So we're just a bunch of old guys or even young guys just trying to play with the old pros. And there's this guy, second batter up. No kidding, RK. Second guy up, swings and misses the first pitch. Edmonds goes, all right, Scotty, go two steps to your left and two steps in. I'm like, well, just do what I tell you. Okay, that's cool. So I go two steps to the left, two steps in. Next pitch, the guy swings. I didn't even have to move a step. So we're jogging in, and Langford looks at me and goes, he's a freak, isn't he? I go, yes,
that's incredible.
Unbelievable.
Scotty, is that the same fantasy camp that you blew out your calf and I told you you're doing a really good Willie McGee impersonation?
So the next game we play in one of the backfields where the minor league guys play, and we're playing Ankiel and Thompson's team. So Ankiel's the left-handed shortstop, and Thompson's playing over at third base. So I get my first time up, and our team's 2-0. You know, this is a big battle. Of course, I'm playing against my brothers that I work with. So I'm sitting there, and I'm getting ready, and the guy throws a pitch, and I swing, and I chop one to Thompson. And I mean, it's not even three steps out of the box, man. And I got my calf muscle and I'm wobbling. I mean, I'm just trying so hard to get the first base. And I'm like, oh, man, I just messed myself up. And you know me, Randy. I'm a runner. I run
all the time.
Forever. So I was more worried about my arm. In fact, I was working out with a guy that used to work over at 101 because I said, man, I got to throw because I don't want to throw my arm out. So I went over and worked out with him a little bit, but it was my leg. So they worked on my leg. Sure enough, pulled my calf muscle. He got thrown in the game. We lost. And Hank is laughing. He goes, dude, Thompson's cracking on you. He says, you did the worst Willie McGee impersonation.
He's like hobbling up there.
I ran over first base because my ass was sinking so far out.
But Willie would have hit a double and hobbled. You just hobbled.
Yeah, that's different.
Exactly. With no speed at all. Obviously, we all know Willie had speed. But yes, BT, that was the same management camp where you're clapping on.
Sorry, just fact-checking.
Scott, you talked a little bit ago about the Blues and being prepared to go on another Stanley Cup run. And it was, we're just talking about a few weeks before the season would have been over and then going into the playoffs and potentially being a number one seed. How good of a chance? And we're all still hoping that they find a way to pick up the season, have a playoffs and then go from there. But in your mind, knowing how difficult it is to repeat, how good of a chance did this team have realistically?
I mean, Ron, honestly, brother, I think they had a good chance. We always hear about the Super Bowl or World Series or NBA Championship or Stanley Cup hangover. And other than that, kind of slow spot that they hit, what was it, right after the All-Star break, I mean, it was almost like they found themselves. And I know a couple of guys were a little banged up and still out there and trying to grind through some of their injuries. But, when you're doing what you're doing at the top of the conference still with some very good teams, Colorado's dangerous, Vegas is dangerous, even Dallas, even though they've slipped right before we had this pause in play, still a dangerous team, especially with Benny Bishop between the pipes. But 91 is still lurking. And you play pretty much throughout the whole season the best team in the West without your biggest sniper. And that is no disrespect because there's a heck of a lot of talent on this hockey team. And who knows how long it takes for, as the guys always say, in whatever professional sport, you got to get up to game speed. But man, you got that number 91 rolling around there, and he's got that shot. And I think he's a better passer than what people give him credit for. That's dangerous, man. It is truly dangerous. And I know some of the odds that were out right before we had this stoppage in all of sports still had the Blues down. There's not a very high percentage chance of winning the Stanley Cup again. And I'm one of those guys. I don't know how you feel. I like being the underdog. I have no problem being the underdog, and I think that's probably more of a rally cry for the Blues. I think the most important thing, Ron, if we do get back to playing regular season before we do the playoffs, is to get that number one seed because you'd like to see more than likely Dallas and Colorado beat the heck out of each other in the first round, and then you get them in the second round. Where if you got one of those teams in the first round, that's going to be more of a battle when you get to the second round. Who knows? But I'm not trying to be a homer. I think with Vladdy Tarasenko and finally getting up to speed and now I'd have this pause, some of the guys that maybe weren't as healthy, I think they got a great chance. And I think the other thing that kind of gets overlooked a little bit is the fact that the smooth transition Marco Scandella had for taking Bo's spot on the blue line paired up with Colton Parayko's, it's something to behold. And again, this team, as I always said, even this season, the one thing that the Blues have to their advantage is they have depth. And that's what's going to get them through injuries. And who knew that we were going to especially lose Vladdy Tarasenko for most, if not all, the season. But to have the depth that the Blues have had, I think, has really worked to their advantage. And I think, again, to go back, why we're sitting in this position, still hard for us to believe that we're even ever almost a year away of winning a Stanley Cup championship. Yes, we finally did it. The Blues finally did it. Is the fact that I think Craig Berube has such a huge impact on this team. Those guys will run through seven brick walls. I mean, BT, you know this. You and I have talked about not only, Chief, but you know how it is with the manager coach you have, man. You believe in that guy, you'll do anything in the world for him. And I think that is a huge part of why the Blues had success last year and why they continue to have it because of Craig Berube. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind.
I totally agree with you. Hey, weird spinoff here, but I think that it's the same thing in almost every industry, right? If you have somebody that you believe in, you'll do anything for them. You don't want to let them down. I agree with Tony La Russa, that was absolutely the case. I believe it with Berube. I believe it with Mike Shildt. He has that. Scotty, what about for you in your career? Do you have somebody that you look at like that? Like who is that guy that you wanted to run through a wall for? Like, who instilled that belief in you? Well, there are probably a lot of people.
There are. I mean, you're sitting next to one of them, honestly.
Ron?
Yeah, right.
What?
I mean, can we tell stories here?
Of course, man.
Okay. So,
hey, I don't know if you know this, Scotty, but we don't have any sports. So if you got stories, come on with them.
We're good.
So, 1990, I'm an intern, and I'm actually working in the newsroom at, can I say the station? Is that okay?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was KMOX. I spent 18 years
KMOX.
There.
So you're KMOX, and I'm actually working in the newsroom, and I'm at Lindenwood, what was then Lindenwood College. And so I'm working nights, reporting. There's another person that I was interning with, who Randy also, we both became good friends with, Tracy Tarpley. I don't even know what her name was. That was her name back then. She was incredible. She went to Mizzou's J school. She was awesome. And basically, that's how I got to know Randy and Mike Kelly and Ron Jacober and everyone. And what I learned, and it's kind of ironic, and I try to stay off social media as much as possible just for my own mindset, but there were a couple of things I did see when I clicked on today on Facebook, was Tom Langmire, who was our old general manager over at KMOX, and he said today would have been Mr. Hyland's 100th birthday. Well, I actually had the honor of working for Mr. Hyland for the very first couple of years of my, you know, career here in St. Louis, who is an absolute undisputed icon, maybe one of the biggest radio geniuses ever in the radio industry. And those people taught me work ethic, whether it was Bob Hamilton in the newsroom or people like Steve Shoemaker or Fred Bottomer or Joan Boykman or whoever was in the newsroom. But in the sports department, it was Randy. It was Mike Kelly. Those guys taught me the ropes, man. And while I always was taught at home, you have to work to earn what you get, I always had a work ethic. But it was everything that I was taught at home from my mom and dad was instilled because I saw these guys, even a Jim Holder working so many countless number of hours, you know, working nights late into like 2-3 o'clock in the morning sometimes and getting back at it at 5 o'clock in the morning. And it was something that I think was the best experience for me, even when I worked in news. And so after I got done with that internship, I went back the next semester, and one of the guys I was going to Lindenwood with, he said, I'm interning over at KMOX, and the guys want you to call them. I'm just like an intern. I'm like, oh, okay. So I call Randy and Mike, and they're in the sports office, and we just chat. And it made me feel good that here are these ultimate professionals. And they were just wondering and thinking about me, and I'm like, wow, that says a lot. Well, the following year, I wound up working part-time at KMOX doing just about anything. I was primarily the nighttime reporter. I did producing on Saturdays and wound up for a while helping Randy and Mike and those guys out on Sundays. So it starts with them, but when you want to be the ultimate and the pinnacle of something, obviously play-by-play, as Randy, I think, and maybe Ron, you can attest to as well, was something when I first got in the business, we all wanted to do play-by-play. And I still have the honor to do play-by-play, thanks to the Missouri Valley Conference. And whenever Danny doesn't have is out and can't do a SLU game, I'll do a SLU game for Fox Sports Midwest. Jack Buck. I mean, we're here in St. Louis, but Jack Buck was a monumental name, but he was great at what he did. And I know Randy has mentioned this several times. I have too on the radio, is the fact that Jack Buck may have been possibly been, you tell me, Randy, a better NFL play-by-play guy than he was Major League Baseball.
I think he was,
crazy,
yeah.
That sounds nuts. Like, I hear people talk about Tony Romo, and maybe you think about the same thing, RK. But I hear people go, oh, Romo knows the plays. Well, two things. First, you have meetings with coaches for both teams before the game. So you might get some of the play calls. But I will remember, turned down the sound because we all hated Howard Cosell, and we turned up KMOX radio on Monday Night Football listening to Jack Buck and Hank Stram. Hank Stram knew every play that was coming.
Right.
Jack would set up the play or set up where they were configured on the offense, and all you say, here Hank Stram jump in and go, Jack, they're going to run right. Sure enough, Tony Dorsett would get a pitch, and he's running right for the Dallas Cowboys or whoever it was. So it was Jack Buck, Dan Dierdorf, and then obviously Bob Costas. And again, getting the honor to do what I do here in St. Louis growing up and being a studio host, every day I walk into that studio, whether it's at the Enterprise Center or at Ballpark Village, I strive to be Bob Costas. I will never be Bob Costas. Never, ever, ever. He is the preeminent studio host ever. But my goal and what I strive to do is to be Bob Costas, because I think he's by far, even though he's a St. Louis guy, quote unquote, I think he is by far the most articulate and just the smoothest, unbelievable studio host that we have ever seen in our generation or many generations.
No Again, doubt.
Everything is probably up for grabs. And I know it's all a St. Louis thing because we all like Joe and, people bang on Joe for whatever reason. I don't get it. But, I mean, and there's so many different play-by-play people. You can go to Dick Enberg. And when I got a chance to meet Dick Enberg when the Padres are in town, I'm like, my goodness, this is unbelievable. During the 2013 playoffs when the Cardinals are playing the Dodgers and Vin Scully's in the booth with Mike and John introduces me to Vin Scully. Well, this is, one of the guys you look up to. I mean, this is pretty cool stuff. So those are the guys that BT, I kind of look up to, and I think, and I mean this, I know that we're doing this publicly, but I think Randy and Mike Kelly and all those guys from the sports aspect and from the news aspect, a guy like Bob Hamilton that taught me the ropes from the ground up to work your butt off constantly, all the time. And I never stop. I mean, I appreciate what I do, but BT, you and I, we work together. I walk into that studio, man, I'm prepared. I'm ready to go. And that's many tips that I give a lot of young people that want to go into broadcasting, man. You just can't walk into a studio, whether it's a radio studio to do a 2, 3, or 4 hour show like you guys do, or even do a half hour, pregame show that we do on Fox Sports Midwest, or what Frank and, Doug or Martin might do on Channel 2 or Channel 4 or Channel 5 or any of those guys. You just don't walk in, you just don't do it. That's just not how it goes. I've always been taught to prepare, thanks to Randy and Mike and those guys just starting out. And that's the way I will always be until they finally kick me out the damn door.
And Scotty, it's not unlike the locker rooms or the dressing rooms or the clubhouses that we walk into. With winning teams, there is a palpable culture. And especially when you have leadership like La Russa, who was so incredibly prepared, or Dick Vermeil and his staff, or Berube now and their staff with the Blues. But when you're boss is working as hard as anybody, and Mr. Hyland would get in at 1 a.m. and work until 4 p.m. and then start it all over again. And as you mentioned, Jack was out in the community 200 nights a year. Bob Hamilton was there every day working hard, and even as a veteran newsman, he was making sure that the story was right and it was reported correctly. When you have guys that have had that much success that are still working as hard as they possibly can, that's going to trickle down to kids like we were.
No question. And I'm glad you brought up Dick Vermeil, because that was one name that, I was just thinking about while you were just making that point, Randy, is the fact that, and you know that because you and I both were in those locker rooms when Doody was there, especially obviously the magical 99 season, man. Those guys, they would go to a wall for that man. And it's one of the more famous lines of many famous lines during that thing. We will rally around Kurt Warner. Mm-hmm. We will win football games. And you're thinking, what? He knew it. But he had everybody in the most important part was everybody in that locker room believed it. Kurt believed it, as we got to learn and know Kurt well, but everybody else had to believe in Kurt Warner, and they did. And then, there's your magic carpet ride. I mean, that's obviously we all have heartache for what has transpired since that time, but that time, and you know this, Randy, that was my first year doing the Rams, mm-hmm. and it was just like, this is just, it was unbelievable. And, you know, Trent Green goes down, and you're thinking, oh, my God, that's it. And the freaking vividly, I'll never forget sitting in the stands in that preseason game against the Chargers when Rodney Harrison hit Trent Green. I'll never forget the reaction of Isaac Bruce. I mean, he took his hand, and he pounded on that terrible turf at the Dome. He's like, that just was everybody else's feeling like, man, we had something special. Look at what just happened. But, you know, it's one of the great stories. The great story of the Blues last year. You know, we have the great story of, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, some of the great games. And, you know, eventually I think we're going to get to see game six of the 2011 World Series. But, you know, just the run up to making the playoffs that year. In fact, we're going to run some specialty shows coming up not in too distant future. I know we'll release on Fox Sports Midwest, and some are going to be some of the great regular season moments of the 2010s that I just did some voiceover work for. But again, going back to the Rams, that was just an incredible magic carpet ride. So we're blessed here in St. Louis to have some of the great, incredible sports moments of all time. And can I go back? Because this, I got to tell the story real fast.
Okay.
2011. So the Braves are in town, and it's right in the middle of September, and the Cardinals are way out. And so John Mozeliak comes in, and I'm doing the pre- and post-game shows for the radio at the time, and I'm like, oh, are you going to, you know, bring some guys up? And I goes, well, he goes, Scott, look, we got to just play this thing out. He goes, just, you know, we're mathematically in it. And I look at him and goes, Scott, we're just mathematically in it. I'm like, okay. So then Chip Carey, awesome dude, he comes in, and I'm interviewing for a pregame show, and Chip's like, man, I just don't have a good feel for this. He goes, we may blow this. Oh, Chip, so crazy. What are you talking about? He goes, Scott, I'm telling you, you know, I just have a bad feeling about this. He goes, I don't know why. I'm like, oh, my God. And then we start talking, because when he always comes in town, he goes and visits his mom and all this other stuff. So we're talking about that. Well, sure enough, Chip is right. The Braves, we found out, blew it, especially on the last day, and the Cardinals wind up just backing into the playoffs and eventually win an incredible World Series in 2011. Because they had Mo, and then I had Chip. I mean, back to back on that Saturday afternoon at our little studio.
That's amazing.
I'll never forget that as long as I live. It was unbelievable, man.
Scotty, great stuff. And we wish we were watching you today on the Cardinal post game after the Cards and Reds. But we'll see you during this baseball season, and hopefully we'll be able to get together and do this again soon.
Let's do it soon, guys. Good to talk to you, man. Keep everybody's chin up, all right?
You too. Thank you, Scotty. That is our friend Scott Warman joining us here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.
Scotty's one of the nicest human beings around, and he does. He works his tail off.
So the day that Patrick was supposed to come home from the hospital, Scotty and I went and played golf in the morning. I wasn't picking him.
Yeah, of course.
Picking Joan and Patrick up until the afternoon, right?
Yeah, no, why be around, you know?
Yeah. I still hear get grief about that. What was I going to do?
What'd you score?
We've only played at Creve Coeur. I was probably like a 45 or something. Coming up next, in the event of an apocalypse, you get one partner. Only options are me, BT, and Raj. And
sorry.
We're going to try to win you over as a bunker buddy next on 101 ESPN.